Before I begin, I just want to submit this to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know, I started writing this and then I stopped. And one day your spirit came upon me and you said, go back and sit down and finish. And I did. And I submit this to you. And I ask you to take over, Holy Spirit, fill me and dunamaho me. And I pray that that which you have given me as a testimony, Lord, that it would be received and embraced by others because it's so true. So I submit myself to you. Lord, I have no shoes on because I am standing on holy ground. And I do this in submission and surrender to you. In Jesus' name. My testimony is called Perseverance is Not a Four-Letter Word. And it's not about the junk in my trunk that God forgave, or the black hole that he drew me out of, but of how perseverance in the face of great trials reaps great rewards. And through it, then and only then, do we truly learn about our Lord. Romans 5, 1-5 says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into his marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. Hallelujah. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures, our tribulations, will develop in us patient endurance, which is perseverance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, glory to God, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That was the Passion Translation again, Romans 5, 1-5. So what is pressure? It's the burden of physical or mental distress. And tribulation, the words are synonymous, is distress or suffering resulting from oppression or persecution. It's also a trying experience. And patient is bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint. It's manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. It's being steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. And endurance is the ability to withstand that hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. I don't know about you. That's a humdinger of a word right there, isn't it? The ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. It's the act or an instance of enduring or suffering. And perseverance is the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, despite failure, opposition. It's the action or condition of an instance of persevering and steadfastness. And then verse 4, going back to Romans, and patient endurance will refine our character. In May, I had my 20th birthday in the Lord. I was born again on May 20th, 2005. I was sitting in my own living room watching The Passion of the Christ. I was alone. I didn't really have friendships, but God. He was at work. He actually delivered me from a 20-year marriage that nearly killed me. When I arrived here, I didn't even really know who I was anymore. And the first 2 to 3 years of my walk with God was glorious. And I learned and I saw so much about him in the supernatural. I was so hungry for time with him. And I loved everything about being near to him. He granted me a nursing home ministry that lasted 2.5 years. It was awesome. And by the grace of God, I was anointed to be there every Sunday for 2.5 years, from noon until 5:30, we were there. We had one-on-one visits in people's rooms. We had music ministry. We had a Bible study, and that was every Sunday. It was so amazing. Partnering with him was the joy, the song, the skip in my step, right? Then the warfare got so much more intense. When I refused to be tripped up by a relationship with a man and I rejected him, I was struck with affliction. I remember the day that it struck me in the spirit. I saw the fireball hit me, wham, right in the middle of my chest. And the affliction of fatigue I felt was so deep that it interfered with everything in life, everything. God showed me his faithfulness and power every single day, because without him, I wouldn't have even been able to get up and go to work. The fatigue was that bad. I would literally sleep 10 to 12 hours a night, and I would wake up in the morning, felt like I hadn't slept at all. And I would lay there in my bed because the alarm had gone off. That's the only reason why I would have woke up. And I just lay there, and I'm like, God, I can't do it, Lord. I can't. I don't even have a want to. You're going to have to help me because I can't do this. And before I knew it, I was standing up, then I was getting in the shower, and I was having a little breakfast. And I would go to work, and halfway through work, about noon, you know, it's like somebody took the balloon and went, and all the air came out. And I'd go, okay, more please. And when I would get home from work, I would stand at the kitchen counter and I would eat something that was just easy. And I would go right to bed. That was my life for years. But he was faithful. And I know he didn't afflict me with that, but he showed me his faithfulness and his power at work in me in it. I did my best to stay plugged in, but it was really, really difficult, and my spiritual discipline suffered because of it. But God was always faithful. When I am not faithful, he is a rock. So Philippians 4, 11 to 13 says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Sometimes when I hear that last verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know, can I get an amen, y'all? It feels like, it's. But sometimes it feels like fingernails on a chalkboard, doesn't it? And we tend to wobble and we wane. I tend to wobble and I can tend to wane, though I'm not in the boat all by myself. Because the I can do all things means that I'm not relying on myself. It means for us mortals, and it's difficult to truly trust someone, even God, who is worthy. Like he shows us over and over and over again how worthy he is and how faithful he is. He's just so patient. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9, this is the Passion, says, brothers and sisters, you need to know about the severe trials we experienced while we were in Western Turkey. All of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts, and we still feel this to this day. It has taught us to lose all faith in ourselves and to place all of our trust in God, who raises the dead. Like it's like a dot, dot, dot. Who raises the dead? Hello? Truth be known, that trust is at times easier said than done. Especially when we're walking through a difficult season. Especially when we just feel like we're just slugging. And that the mud is so thick and we're not really sure if we're going to be able to persevere and continue, much less keep standing. But God is not a man that he would lie. Nor does he change like shifting sand. So that means that every promise that he has made is a yes and amen to us. Even when we're slogging in the stinking mud. Even when we feel like somebody keeps dunking us under the water in the pool. I mean, come on, we all experience that. In the last 15 years since that fireball struck me, I have had moments of strength and health, as well as times that the affliction roared. I am ever grateful to God for showing me his never-ending love, for extending buckets of grace, and mercy, even carrying me when I couldn't stand. He's probably carried me more in the last really 17 years than I have actually walked on my own. You know, and it was, I'm just going to be crystal clear. It took me a long minute to actually realize that he was in it, because it's so easy to get angry at him, isn't it? I don't know about you. I mean, he is the big G, big O, D. He is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But it can be easy to get angry when something comes on. You're like, really? And unfortunately, that can flow instead of just going out like this. It can flow here, and it does damage to this. And I'm just going to be transparent. It has been a long minute that I have been angry with God. I keep saying, Lord, I know you have a plan for my life, you know, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me hope in the future. And the next thing I know, wham, like, dang it. And I just got into this modus operandi, y'all. And it's like quicksand. It can be like quicksand. But I praise God that he never left me. When I threw myself behind the closed door and I pretended like he wasn't there, come on, he was right there. Right? Like, he was right there. He was right there. And it actually, you know, I'm not the only one that's gone through this. I'm not the, you know, and I'm not the poster child of always getting it right, that's for sure. Because we all go through it. But the lesson, the thing that I want to get across in this testimony is that he is so faithful. When I was angry and I yelled at him, he looked at me and he said, I love you. I'm holding you, but you don't know it. I got your heart. And I'm breathing life. So the sickness in my body is better. Praise the Lord. Lord, I still feel from time to time the tiredness, but I'm learning to crush it by being careful about what I consume, which is an abomination in and of itself, because my body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And by his wounds, I have been healed. I believe those things are true. But I will if you, is often a promise of God, isn't it? Now, if I'm not doing what I need to do, then he's not obligated to do his part. There's been many times when I felt like I had to withdraw to protect myself from others who were used as a tool in the hand of the enemy, meant to steal and kill and destroy me. And until I learned the right way to handle these events, The wounds to my soul began to stack up. And I just did not know how to deal with the events and the feelings that ensued. And in my foolishness, I hid myself from the only one who could bring me comfort, who could heal those wounds, who could pull me out of the miry pit, who could take me from that steel, sterile chamber that I had put myself in, trying to protect myself from you and others and the enemy and whatever. I fell short, and I did not live to what I knew, live up to what I knew was right and good. And I felt fear and shame, and I hid myself. All the work of the enemy to drive a wedge between my Lord and I, to sever me from the vine. Glory to God for his faithful promises. Oh, yes and amen, because he never gave up on me. He never left me. Like he, the speak the name of Jesus and the pits of hell tremble. So you see, I had this pattern that instead of running to him, I hid. Because of all the intense warfare on my physical body, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and the rejection and the betrayal that I have experienced since I got born again. Oh, bugger, I lost my place. So the harder the enemy attacked me, the further I would withdraw. I'm sure y'all saw it. I put myself in that cold, sterile place where I thought I was safe. But that is such a lie, because the truth is that I'm only safe in his presence. Only in this secret place. And all the wind and the waves, in it all, I made the egregious mistake of taking my eyes off of him, and I put them on me and the waves and the wind. It was a big mistake. But I'm grateful that in it and through it, he has taught me to trust. I remember when that song Oceans came out, I was just done. Like, I was like, okay, you know, teach me to trust you. That's like, don't pray for patience, because he'll give you circumstances to teach you how to be patient. So I had circumstances that taught me how to trust. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the Passion says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked out. Come on now, doesn't that just make you want to hop up and down? Come on, it's so good. We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, that you would be his, yes, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and he now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. That is just so good. Consider carefully Jesus and how he faced what he faced and how he walked through it. Consider him so that you don't become worn down and cave in. At one point, I went a very prolonged stretch without any meaningful periods of fellowship and intimacy with my God. By grace, revelation came, and I learned that I had taken an offense toward God himself for allowing the devastating trials and for not delivering me quicker. Romans 8:28 was the first verse that God ever taught me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. I like to say that when life gives me lemons, God will make a glass of the most amazing sugar-free lemonade you've ever had. And I also knew that during that time, I was not walking in power, because his nearness is my good, Psalm 73:28. And without him, I'm actually in a deficit in life. But in him, I have everything that I need. So it's that time that we spend in the secret place. It's talking to him, sharing your life with him. It's reading the word. It's praying. It's helping other people. It's being the hands and feet. All of those places really are the secret place. And I don't want to live my life like a balloon that the air keeps going out of. I want to walk in power. When I wake up in the morning, I want the devil and his minions to go, "Oh, dang it, she's awake. Come on, Jesus, that is all you, that is not me." Oh, hallelujah. John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Hallelujah. And he says it, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Dead works is what that is, right? If he's not in it, it's a dead work. There's no life in it. The truth is that in and through my trials, God has always been there, ever faithful and true. He gave me a vision of myself in his arms and revealed to me that for long periods, he has carried me. And last Sunday, this is not in here, but when the word came about the sprouting of new growth, he gave me a vision of myself laying flat out, and I had all these little green sprouts coming out of me. And Jesus was standing over me, watering me. Come on now. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 46:3-4 says, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you and rescue you. Thank you, God. During all this time, Holy Spirit was ever teaching me how things work. Because I'm always asking him questions. Even when I was being stupid and hiding in that little place I was hiding all the time. He was ever teaching me how things work, and he was answering my questions on the how and the why and even sometimes the what. And he taught me the importance of walking in the authority of Christ that he died for his church to have. The consequence of the things that I speak over myself and others, the power of making a decree of the word of God, it either brings life or it brings death. It either builds up or it destroys. John 14, 26 says, but the helper, whoop, whoop, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Luke 10:19 in the Passion says, now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. Come on, Lord. That's an awesome scripture right there. No rights. Job 22:28. This is in the King James Version. It says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. So what do we decree? God's truth. What do we decree? God's promises. What do we decree? Prophetic words that he's given to us. Even though we don't see it manifest right now, oh dang it, it's not right there, but I see it up there. I see it, it's coming. You prophesied it. I know Abraham waited 25 years. Okay, Lord, I'm going to wait for your perfect timing, but I'm going to keep decreeing it because I know your word is truth. Your word that comes forth from your mouth does not return to you void. Hey, but it accomplishes everything that you sent it to do. So, sorry. So what I'm saying here, in Christ, I'm being changed from glory to glory as I persevere in my walk. It's like peel an onion, baby. Layer by layer, layer by layer. Because if he took a scalpel in each one of us and went schwunka and went right to the center and got rid of all that stuff, we wouldn't be able to handle it. All the things, all the everything from the time we were born until the scalpel moment, like we wouldn't be able to stand. We couldn't do it. Glory to God. Romans, that 5:1-5 again. Just want to read it again because it's so good. But that's not all. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Patient endurance will refine my character. Oh, to be more like Jesus and less like Tracy. And as he proves my character, hope springs up. And my hope is not in something that is fleeting or fading, but in the only one who can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. So I will press on, and I will set my face like flint, And I will put my eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus himself. So I asked permission to have a song played. Y'all have it? You can cue it up. Just give me 1 second. It's a new song by Sons of Sunday. It's called One More Day. Sons of Sunday is Stephen Furtick, Leland Mooring, Chandler Moore, Brandon Lake, Chris Brown. Just amazing anointed men of God that got together over a year and they wrote all these songs and just released the album. And I love the beginning part of it, and I'm going to say it, but then I want them to play it because I hope that the song will minister to you. The beginning says, I am a sinner. Grace is still healing. I am a story. Time is revealing. I am all of these things, but mostly I'm thankful. I'm a fighter caught in a struggle, a survivor rising above it. I'm all of these things, but mostly I'm thankful because you gave me one more day. And it drops down a little bit and it says, when the night was closing in on me, and I didn't know if I'd see the morning, you held on to me. And Jesus, I'm grateful. When my enemies turned up the fire, El Shaddai, you were right there beside me. You showed up for me, and Jesus, I'm grateful.